Welcome to the Messy Imperfection.
That was good. That was good.
Mm-hmm. I'm Shannon.
I'm Danny.
Welcome back, guys. Happy Monday.
Yeah, boy.
Happy Monday.
We're recording on a Monday, too, so we love that. We love
it
a good
is
Monday.
A Monday.
Monday, Monday-ish.
Okay, so Danny prepped me that this is going to be a hot and heavy episode, so we'll see.
Yeah, she was like, okay, let's do a cute little fun one now. And I'm like, no, this is about to get heavy.
And I was like, fuck.
I don't know, maybe. I feel like we make everything fun, though, so.
Yeah, well, that's because we do weird things in the middle of the episode.
Facts. Mm-hmm. I feel like we get heavy, and then we're like, time to line it up, and then we get heavy again.
Yeah, so time anyway, to do an eye rub.
Hot take. We've briefly talked about this in our first relaunch episode, we're back, bitches. But we're going to really dive into it today, and we're going to talk about friendships and relationships in general. Hot take. Friendships and relationships are not 50-50.
Yeah, you hit me in the face with this one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was draining you. I felt like I was draining you by my need for you.
Oh, yeah. No, I got you.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like, I was feeling very needy, and I don't like to feel needy. And you were like, baby girl, this is not how this works.
Yeah, no. It's not. But we'll get into that later. We'll really dive into the 50-50. But first, I want to talk about friendships and making and keeping friends after school.
Ooh.
Which I think, I don't know what changes. Like, in elementary and middle school, you just walk up to somebody like, hey, you want to play Barbies later? But then as we get into like high school and after school, it's not easy anymore. And I feel like even though you can go up to someone and be like, hey, like, you want to hang out? They are so not reciprocating.
Do you know why?
Do I know why?
Yeah.
No, do you?
I think I have a theory.
Tell me.
I think because when we're younger, we're not aware of quote unquote societal norms, and we don't have fear.
Fear of what?
Anything. Rejection, not being loved.
But why, if someone is trying to be your friend, are you like, nah, dog?
You have to think about our traumas and then what other people's traumas are.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? And if you take that and you realize that, okay, even if one bad breakup, you trusted somebody and it ended bad.
Okay.
That's going to put a lens on anything else, on any other relationship that you have, friendship or not. I think that's a lot of it.
Okay. That's fair. I'll give you that.
See that coming? Have no, that I one didn't. Locked and loaded.
Now you did have that locked and loaded. Yeah. Was that on the fly or did
I've been thinking about that.
Okay.
Fair. Yeah.
So then I guess that kind of leads into my next point, but also point 2.5. Why? I just, like, it kills me. Are you laughing at me?
Yeah, it was funny. And then I had water in my mouth, so I had to make sure I didn't come out my nose.
It kills me. I'm a nosy Nelly by trade.
We know.
And I need to know everything.
I know.
Okay. So, goddamn, I need to know everything. I just have to know.
Yes.
I don't, like, it doesn't involve me. I don't care. I just gotta know. So, it kills me when there's no closure.
Mm.
When you, like, have a meetup with somebody or you go and get coffee, things are Gucci, and you're like, oh, this friendship, like, oh, yeah, I can't wait to hang out next time, whatever, whether it's dates, relationships, anything. And then you just, like, get ghosted. Because that has happened to me so many times. Like, I'll go get coffee with somebody, I'll go get lunch with them, and then at the end of it, this was so much fun, we have to do this again. And then I'll, like, message them and be like, hey, like, what are you doing this day? Or, yeah, let me know your schedule. And then I just never hear back. Why? Need to know why.
I don't know if I have an answer for that.
This leads me to point 2.5. Google reviews for friends and relationships.
I would love that.
So you could be like, okay, I'm going to go be friends with Shannon Connolly. Let me check her reviews.
I would be terrified to read my reviews.
Big facts. But also at the same time, I don't care what people think of me, but I need to know. I just want to know. Good, bad, indifferent. Tell me.
See, we're very different on this. We're very different on this. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, I don't give a fuck. Like, you could be like, she's a shitbag.
I don't need to know.
See, I want to.
Because the thing is what I do know is that I'm a villain in a lot of people's stories.
That's fair.
I do know that. I trigger a lot of people. The freaking psychic that I saw said to me, I trigger a lot of people because this is going to sound cocky, but this is word for word what she said to me. Your light shines too bright for the darkness in others.
Yeah.
And it triggers other people.
I can for sure see that. That goes back to personal development and changing yourself and bettering yourself is not accepted in our culture of profession. That was the word I was looking for. In our profession.
Mm-hmm. And it triggers people.
Yeah.
In a very big way.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I'm going to call you out. I think you just need to work on that.
Work on what?
Work on needing that closure.
It's just nosy.
It's not.
But, like, I don't care, though.
You may not care, but you need to just... My mom tells me this all the time, and I never fully understood it. And I hate that she's right. But she always goes, she's got to let it go.
I mean, I'm not losing sleep over it.
But why do you need to know?
I mean, I don't need to. It'll just.
But why does it bother you that you don't know?
It doesn't bother me. I just want
to... It does. It's triggering you.
No, I, like, oh, just knowing what people think just does something for me. Let me tell you.
You just like the way... I feel like you are... You need to know the way, like, you analyze things, and you want to know why people did what they did.
Maybe, but I don't think so. I think I really just want to know. I, like, there's truly no...
Interesting. My mom's the same way, though. As much as she says, you just need to let it go. Donna, you haven't let go of anything. Don't come at me.
Ooh, call that bitch out.
I'm just kidding. I love my mom. But she will hold on to something for a long time, but she needs to know everything.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold on to it. Maybe
you should just call her. She probably has good FBI instincts like you do. You know I don't.
Oh my God. I'm going to oust myself. I'm not going to even oust myself. I'm going to pat myself on the back. The things that I found out about this man that Shannon was talking to a couple weeks ago, I found out when he bought his house, what year it was built, how much it sold for, the bedrooms, the bathrooms, how much his sister's house sold for. Like, I address his parents, anything you want to know, I could tell you anything. And I found it in less than an hour.
Yeah, I can't do that. I don't have that skill.
I was so impressed with myself.
Or patience. This thing is more of it.
I was bored, and also I needed to know. I've never even met this man. Never even spoken on the phone to him. Not exchanged a single text message. But because you were slightly invested, I was like, bet I will know his entire life story in an hour. Talk to you soon. Okay. Anyway, that was irrelevant. So now this brings me to my next point. I think this is where it's going to get heavy. And I think you wrote this. The friends that you lost, did you leave them behind or did they just not keep up with you? It's not on you to drag them along. And I think we've both experienced this a lot.
I'm going to, I don't want to lose that next point. So I still have a hard time with this. You know this. Moving out of my comfort zone and down south has made me thought about this a lot.
Like, literally moving.
Like, literally plucking myself out of where I was and moving to a completely different area is becoming one of the best things for me because of this statement right along. It made me realize...
Stop fucking with your mic.
It just feels good, okay? I'm just holding it. It's like my emotion.
It. I don't want to see
my
noise.
Emotional support piece right now.
Find something new to emotionally support.
I'll hand fuck my water bottle. It's fine. So that feels weird. I have to fidget. You know I have to fidget. I don't want to tell you.
You get you like a stress ball or something.
We do. So it's the part that's like, did you leave them behind / did they not keep up with you? I don't like to look at it in the lens of we left them behind because we gave these people an opportunity to come with us.
Agree.
They did not keep up with us, and that's not on us.
No.
Because there's a lot of friends, and you know the exact place that I'm thinking of in my head. I don't want to, like, whatever.
Yeah.
There was a place that I was stuck to. I kept going back to for years. Years. And the friendship, quote, friends that I had there, I would not distance myself from, and mostly because it was very convenient to be friends with them. But moving made me realize that they should have been left behind a long time ago. And now that it's not convenient for me to see them anymore, I'm now seeing it in a much clearer lens that they choose to see the old Shannon, the Shannon that was, not the Shannon that is. I did not leave them behind. They had ample, they knew my moves. They knew what I was doing. They had ample opportunity to come with me. They chose not to. That is not on me. And that's just one example.
I agree. I think it's so easy for people to say, oh, they changed. Oh, they're not the same person. Yeah. They're different. Yeah, they are. That's like literally what life is about. You're supposed to get better. You're supposed to improve yourself.
Yeah. And you said it's not on you to drag them along. That's 100% right. And there's there's a good example that I can think of, and I'm hoping to make this vague enough that it's not going to be evident on who these people are. So I've had two different, we'll take that example, right, where there was a group of friends that, you know, I trigger them. It's another set of people that I trigger because I am not afraid to call people out on their stuff. I'm not. I will not apologize for that. If you are treating me poorly, I will call you out on it. And how you respond to me calling you out on that tells me everything I need to know about you and if our friendship can continue.
Yeah.
If you are, and I'm not saying that I'm always right, but have a conversation with me about it. Like, talk to me about, like, okay, I understand where you're coming from, but this is not what happened. This is what happened. Okay, cool. But if you accept 0% responsibility and don't have a conversation about it, I'm not taking you with me.
Yeah.
I'm not. But I've had friends who I've had to set boundaries with. There's one in particular that I set a boundary with. And, you know, the person said some things that I didn't appreciate. And at that moment in time, I was like, I can't be friends with you because this is way past my boundary point. And instead of saying, oh, you're being whatever, this person decided to take that and was like, that was so out of character me. I own up to this. I understand your, I respect and understand your boundary. And I will continue to work on myself in this time apart is basically what it said. And our friendship has started. I mean, I will always have a boundary because that trust was broken and our friendship has gotten better than what it would have been if he chose not to. I said he, I was doing so good. If he chose not to, look at it and figure out, like, looking with himself and figure out what happened. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest way to differentiate.
Yeah.
Leaving them behind, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Or bringing them with you.
Yeah.
Because.
And I would hope someone would do that for me.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, if I fucked up, like, you, like, say something to me, like, I'll own up to it. And, like, if and some of it, like, if you saw it on a different lens than what was intended, I'll tell you that. Be like, I understand this impact it had on you, yet this was not my intention. My intention was this. Like, let's work on this in the future so it doesn't come out the same way.
Yeah.
It goes back to communication. But if you're not willing, and that's a lot of it, is the people that get, quote unquote, left behind are left behind for a reason. And I'm not saying exactly. That this is easy to do. Friendship breakups are hard.
Oh my God.
They suck.
So hard.
Either temporary or not. Like, I've had ones that have been permanent and they've been some of the hardest things I've ever had to go through, like more than relationships. And in order to grow, sometimes the cut is necessary.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're so right. This is heavy.
I told you. So I think this really goes into our next point. Is it's lonely in the middle. We aren't with the people who don't have ambitions at the bottom, and we haven't yet reached our full potential, and the other people at the top, which I think we're still in this middle state, and I feel like we'll be here for a while.
I agree.
And I think, yeah, that's all I got.
I think it's harder than what people want to acknowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, and this, honestly, this relates to a lot of things. In the middle, lonely in the middle period, that sentence without taking it, like, you apply that to any part of your life, it's hard.
Yes.
Because I think I brought this up with relationships, like, in terms of, like, I'm seeing all these people that are, like, I don't want to say below me because that's not appropriate, but there, you know, like, there's always a spectrum of people. You have, like, the people that are not like me at all on both sides of the spectrum and they're easy to find love, but the people that are, like, kind of just in the middle, like, there's nothing really stand out about. I don't even know how to word this without saying, like, a total bitch. But, like, you look at a scale, you have your zeros to fives and you have your eights to tens. The zero and fives hang out. The eights to tens hang out. The five to eights have a harder time navigating.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that goes, you can apply that scale to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Work, relationships, both friendships and relationships. And that middle, that's where the people struggle the most. And it's like, okay, how do I yeet myself over that mark? Literally. Like, I look at that all the time. But it's also like, okay, let me just be let me get comfortable with the uncomfortable in the middle. Because there's a reason we're here.
Yeah.
There's a reason we're in the middle. And there's obviously work we need to do in order to become. And I don't think we ever reach our full potential. It's always just what can I, because you never. And that's.
Oh boy.
Got me started.
Big brain energy.
Yeah. It's a big brain injury. So that's like. We're never going to reach our full potential, right? So someone had messaged me the other day, I'm not going to name names, but we're talking about goals. And this person was like, oh, I reached all my goals.
And was
like proud of it and cocky about it and like all these things. And I didn't respond to it because one of you're cocky as fuck. We're not talking about this. But two, if you have, quote, reached all of your goals, that's a load of baloney. You can always reach for more.
Right.
And that's like the reach. You haven't reached for full potential. Okay. So there's a part where if you're starting at zero, it takes a lot to get from zero to five. Right.
Yeah.
And that's, we'll say that's the lower end, or zero to four, whatever you want to put at the lower end, that's the lower end. To get to, when you're at zero and you realize that you're a rock bottom and you're like, okay, I need to climb my way up. Getting to zero to four, I think, is a lot easier than getting from five to eight. Because it's not, there's, the check marks are harder to mark off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then getting from eight to 10 is even harder. Yeah. I don't think you'll ever reach 10, but like nine and a half, whatever. Yeah. The further you get along in the scale, the harder it becomes to reach that point, because the check marks are harder. It takes longer to get there. So when you're like, we'll be here for a while, you hit the nail on the head there. We will absolutely be here for a while. And it's because the get to that next check mark is a lot more work than it was when we were sitting at four.
Yeah, agree. And I think this also applies to what we talked about last episode, because this is such a tangible and non-tangible application, if that makes sense.
It does.
Like, we're in the middle because we're both in very transition periods of our lives. You're completely single, don't have a house yet. I'm in a relationship. I have my own house, but I'm still like in the middle. I'm not engaged.
You are. Yeah.
So I feel like we're both in very transition periods of our lives. So we're in the middle. You know what I mean?
100%.
And then we're also in the middle of our personal development, our careers, everything journey, else.
Literally everything.
And I think going back to what you said about this person that messaged you about their goals, I think that's also such a sad existence to have, and to be like, yeah, I've accomplished everything, I'm done. Okay, how old are you? Are you like 70? Because if not, like, what are you gonna do for the next 40 years?
I agree.
Are you just gonna be like, yeah, I'm done?
Like, that's where you want to, it goes back to like, I want to be with someone who's ambitious, right?
Yeah.
Well, if you're like, oh, I reached the top, that's not ambitious to me.
No.
Like, because you can never reach that. Like, okay, you're happy where you are now. That's okay. You can be happy where
absolutely.
You are. That's fine. I respect that. But like, okay, if you're at the top of where you want to be in your professional career, cool. What about your personal? What about your friendships? What about your health? Like, your goals don't have to just be career focused. You can have other goals, spiritual goals. Like,
absolutely.
A goal to run your mile faster. Like, your goals don't have to be always career. They could be so many other things. Your goals could involve, I want to make this friendship deeper, this friendship that I have, or I want to grow deeper relationships with my friends. How am I going to do that? And this goes back to the, you know, if we're going to wrap it in and put the friendship and relationships aren't 50-50. When you're talking about this time in your life and you're with people that are like-minded, you, I'm seeing if you see what I wrote in the notes.
No. Oh, yeah, I saw it. I knew that.
I didn't know if you knew.
Yeah.
When you're in that transitional phase, there's people that you want to surround yourself with, right? So this is the relationships are 50-50. You always want to have someone in your circle that is doing better than you. You do.
Yeah.
And they're going to give probably more than you are on that 50% until you reach their level. There's an ebbs and flow with that. When you get higher and you have someone in your circle that's higher than you, they will part their wisdom onto you. So they're giving the knowledge at a higher level, but you're also helping them. It's symbiotic because you're also helping them become a better leader, mentor, teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's not 50-50 because they're probably going to give you more to help you propel, but you're also doing something for them too. And vice versa, you're probably higher than someone else in their friendship circle. So it all levels out, basically, is what I'm trying to say here. Your energy levels out in some way or form. It's not friendship to friendship. It's all of your friendships you should be getting and receiving 50-50 over time.
Yeah.
But in moments, they're going to be giving 70, you're going to be giving 70, or you're going to be giving 30 or 50, whatever the case may be. It's not always going to be level all the time. And I think that is something that you helped me with, because I was like, I feel like I'm pulling too much from you. Like, let me give something back. And you're like, no, like, this is okay. It's a hard season for you. Like, it will eventually come back around. Like, exactly. That's okay. And that's hard to, I think, in this world, it's hard to acknowledge that, because there's two ends of the spectrum. You have people that are the martyrs that want that attention and respect and want to keep grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. And then you have people who are the opposite. I don't know what the opposite of a martyr is called, but whoever, like, who doesn't take time and it's like, no, I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm okay. And that's all they do. And they're not. Right. So there's two ends of that spectrum too that I think is important to acknowledge as well.
No, I agree. And I think the 50-50, you brought up a really good point that I've never really considered with like the mentor leader aspect, because 50-50 can apply to so much more than support, understanding, energy. It applies to knowledge, like goal setting, aspirations, things like that. It applies to so much more than just energy, because that's really what I was mainly getting at with the 50-50, which we briefly talked about in our first relaunch episode, about how it's always going to be, like you just said, ebbs and flows. You're having a really hard season with your moving and all that stuff, so I'm completely fine giving a little bit more, meeting you where you're at, whether it's 75-25, 60-40, whatever that looks like in every aspect, because I know it'll eventually even back out to 50-50, or I'm going to have a hard season and you're going to come
and fill it. Yeah,
exactly.
100%.
But I think also this caveat that we put in before that I also want to say again, if someone is draining you and it's and you're constantly giving more, that's not okay. That's not what we're getting at.
No, not at all.
And also, I think it's important that you, like you just said, you acknowledge that you were not giving our friendship. What's outside that?
It was a squirrel. It was a literal squirrel. A literal squirrel, but I didn't know what it was until I reconfirmed. Sorry.
I think it's also important that you acknowledged, like verbally to me, acknowledge that you were not giving the friendship what you wanted to be. And we had that conversation, because if this continued on for months and months and months and I was constantly pouring into you and not...
That'd be a red flag.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So 100%. I think that's important to analyze each relationship and ensure that it is
100%
a shared responsibility.
I think that's really important that you said that, because I think that we hold on to friendships for too long sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's my next point. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think that we hold on to things that we wish could be and they're not.
Yeah.
And they're not. And it takes a hard amount of realization to realize. Let me rephrase that. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of emotion to realize a friendship needs to end, or a really hard conversation needs to happen. Because sometimes it is a hard conversation. Sometimes the person's not realizing it. Yeah. And that's, again, reevaluate who are you surrounding yourself with. You hear it over and over and over again. This is not original. You are the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. And that could be podcasts. That could be books. That does not have to be someone physical in your life. So that's why listening to podcasts and reading books and Audible is important as well, because that is part of your five. If you're spending a lot of time listening to podcasts that are garbage or watching TV that's garbage, that is part of your five. So you have to be careful what you consume, but do you need to have a tough conversation with somebody?
Yeah. You good?
Yeah.
So my next point is friendships not surviving babies, marriages, traumatic events, a major life change. It could be moving, like you've seen.
Yeah.
I think this is really hard, because I struggled with this when a friend recently had a baby, and actually I've had a lot of friends that have had babies recently. I just all thought about that at the same time. But like specifically, you'll see posts on social media that are all like, have a baby, you'll see, get married, you'll see. Like, I hate those fucking posts on social media.
So do I.
And I just don't understand. I don't know how to say this without sounding shitty. I absolutely think that any traumatic event or any major life event, having baby, getting married, whatever, takes a village. And you should absolutely rally around new mothers, anyone who's having a hard time. I absolutely think that's a hard season. Put the extra fucking effort in.
I agree.
This is where the 50-50 comes into play. It's not 50-50 right now. You should for sure be putting in the extra effort. But they also have to give something.
Totally agree.
And I think that it's so easy for people to hide under these events, and they aren't willing to look at themselves and think about their lack and what part they cause in that friendship dissolving.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I had a really hard time with that, because this specific friendship, so much of the blame was placed on me and my lack, when in fact I was making effort. I was trying, and so much blame was put on me, and I took so much of that guilt on. Now in hindsight, I realized that was inappropriate, but I just don't think that's fair for people going through an event to not take personal responsibility.
I agree. And that goes back to like doing that evaluation of friendships.
Yes.
Because, you know, people were like, oh, you'll see a person's true colors when you go through something hard. That's, I don't mean to call you out if this ends up calling you out. It's an accident. But that's something that you should have seen beforehand.
Oh, absolutely. And hindsight, like, 20/20.
Yeah, 100%. And moving forward, you'll probably be able to recognize the signs sooner.
Yeah.
But that's when you evaluate your friendships often and are like, okay, am I putting... I do this all the time. I do this with you. I do this with Delaney. I do this with my parents. I do a self-reflection on, am I giving to this relationship the effort it deserves? And vice versa. Or do we need to talk about this? And usually I am, because that is something I'm like, it's usually 50-50 because I intentionally picked it, the people that are in my life. But if you're still in that transition of like, you don't feel fulfilled by your friendships and you're doing a realization of friend to friend, it really sucks. It really sucks because you have to be intentional who you put in your life. So like, it's more of a self-reflection on making sure that I'm doing what I can do to make sure that these relationships are deep and meaningful. But if you're just in the beginning and you're not sure if you want to make these friendships deeper, meaningful, look at the way they've handled things in the past, and not just with you, but with other friends and their relationships with their family and their parents, because I guarantee you that when something bad happens and they respond poorly, it is, if you look back, it's not going to be a surprise.
Ew, that's so weird you said that, because I'm really struggling with another friendship that you know about.
Yeah.
And I'm really having a hard time navigating this extremely difficult season they're going through. And my last therapy session, this is like all we talked about. And my therapist literally said the word for word, the same fucking thing you just said. Sit down with them, talk to them about their previous friendships and see what happened. And see why things ended, how they navigated things. Where they placed the blame. And that can help you determine how to navigate or to realize this may not be a friendship that's serving you.
Yeah.
I don't even like saying serving you, because that seems very...
It seems selfish, but it's not. It's not, because you know that you bring a lot to the table too.
Right.
You know that.
And I don't want this friendship to be draining me and to be putting so much effort into it
if it's,
to realize that there will never be a time where it will be reciprocated.
That's fair. No, that's a fair statement.
So when I go through a hard season, are they going to run?
Right.
And that's where I think is really important to sit down and think about.
I think a lot of this, and I think this goes back to like, I really want to bring a therapist on to this podcast, is attachment styles.
Yes.
Attachment styles, and knowing what attachment style you are, what attachment style your friends are, because that helps you navigate tough times with them as well.
That's such a great point, because I know so little about this, but I want to know more.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that.
Because it's like, it goes back to like what, I don't even know if it was Shelby or who it was that I was listening to this week, but we've talked about this before. What kind of friend do you want me to be?
Yes.
Do you need a listener? Do you need an event session, or are you looking for advice?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't want to give you advice if you don't want it.
Right.
Like, if you already know the answer and you just need to vent it out, cool. Like, I'm a good listener. Talk to me. But if you are like, I have no idea how to navigate this, okay, I don't know if I can too, but maybe we can brainstorm this together.
Right.
And I think that it goes with attachment styles as well. It's just learning how to navigate each other. And, you know, it's love language is another thing that we can talk about too.
Love languages.
I'm going to put that at the bottom, because I think love languages and attachment styles are very important things for us to dive into. I could not spell that for the life of me. Oh my gosh. Sometimes I'm so eloquently stupid. Okay. So wow, that was insightful.
That was insightful.
Where were we? I don't want to lose. I want to make sure we hit our points.
I think I'm done with the friendship category.
Okay.
Unless you have anything to add.
No, I think we're good.
I do want to...
Lights just flicker.
No.
Okay.
Maybe. I might have blinked.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I blinked too fast or the lights flickered.
Well, it is like weird outside right now.
That's why I was like, whatever. Maybe the spirits came to say hi.
I think our friendship breakup really helped me navigate quality over quantity, because I've always been like, I don't have a lot of friends. I've never been the type that's had a lot of friends. I can like count them on one hand, but they've always been like decently solid enough. And
that sounded a lot shittier than it was meant to be.
No, it wasn't. It was an accurate statement. And yeah. I was always like self-conscious question mark. I don't know if that's the word I'm looking for, but it was always in the back of my mind that like, yeah, I don't have a lot of friends. Like, is there something wrong with me? And after we broke up and you like died, I was like, I don't fucking care about having quantity anymore. I just want someone who is solid, a good human being.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a really good friend than have a handful of shitty ones.
I think that goes for both of us. I think we talked about this a lot and we will go into this. I think it was necessary for us to grow separate and want to grow together.
Yes. I do agree with that. Maybe that'll come in our breakup episode.
Yeah, I think it will. Because I think that that's a whole thing. Because we went on different journeys. Very separate journeys.
Yeah.
Very separate journeys. But very important journeys, I think, for both of us.
For sure.
As hard as it was. I agree, though. I mean, another thing that I will say on that, too, is... because I always felt that way, too. But I thought that the way to gain more friends was to show up how I thought that they wanted me to show up. Like, I thought I was portraying myself in a different light than who I actually was.
Mm, you were fitting the mold of who you thought they wanted you to
be. Yes, and that wasn't giving me any friendships. But when I really decided to be my true authentic self is when, I mean, I have a lot of outer circle friends. Absolutely. My inner circle, very small, and it will always be very small. But I have a lot of outer circle friends, and I think it's because I truly chose to be authentically me.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to be who I am, and you can like it or you can leave it. I'm okay with either. I really am. I don't need you in my life. I have the people I want in my life. I literally handpicked them. Like, handpicked you. I handpicked Delaney. Like, I literally said to Delaney, like, one of the first times I ever met her, I was like, you and I are going to be best friends.
I love that.
Yeah. Like, handpicked them. Because I was not always a good judge of character. I ignored a lot of red flags. But I can see that there are people that I... Whatever. I don't even know how to explain what my thought was just there. It was like, sometimes my thoughts just like come at real quick.
Fleeting.
Yeah. And I don't know how to put it into words. But I do agree with your statement.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I like did not have wrapped that in a bow. I was like, I'm just going to say it. It's fine. It's a bow. It's leave it. Take it or leave it.
It might be a messy bow, but it's there.
Yeah.
It's messily imperfect.
I was going to say it.
All right. Moving on to relationships. I don't really know if this is going to tie in, but I just felt right. So are you putting your eyeball on the mic?
I don't know what just happened.
Okay.
I was staring and then I realized I was getting closer and closer to the mic.
I don't know who. Did you write the men's insecurities?
No.
Okay. I don't know where I was going with this, but.
Let's talk about the last one. These are a different episode, but this is not.
What are you talking about? Just say it.
You can't highlight what you can't see what I'm highlighting, no. Can you? Okay. So, Dania wrote Men Attracted the Martyr Attitude.
Oh yeah, cuz we just dropped the Back to Bitches episode.
Yes.
And we mentioned this in that episode and I had a thought about it.
Okay.
Well, you can read it. Does this go back to the 60s when women were supposed to be a servant in their household? This is a big question mark on me.
I just realized how much this could be a deep convo, but I'm gonna see how it goes. Yes, is the one word answer to this.
This is like a very like caveman-y instinctual thing.
But this is where you and I differ a lot with society and where society's going, because we have so many. I don't know why they're attracted to the martyr attitude. I think that men have this, they want to feel masculine and they want to be able to take care of somebody. And that's why they're attracted to it.
Fair.
They want to feel like the masculine energy. And we've talked about this. This is why I think a lot of guys I think that's why a couple of the guys that I really enjoyed end up leaving, because I don't need someone to take care of me. I don't need you. I want you. And I think a lot of people, females need, not want, and men feel that shift.
Yeah.
So like it has to be a more masculine man than what I found so far to be able to tolerate that kind of energy.
Yeah.
But that being said, I want a man to put me in my feminine energy. You know what I mean? Because there's this masculine and feminine energy. I acknowledge that it's important for a man to feel needed And I'm okay with that. But I need you to put me there. Like, if I don't think that you're going to protect me or take care of me, I'm going to step into my masculine energy. And I don't want to be in that energy.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where a lot of society differs. And there's like, I know that my future husband is out there probably feeling this right now, like feeling like the kind of man I'm attracted to probably thinks that there is no woman for him because he wants someone that's strong and independent, but he also wants to take care of them.
Yeah.
That is the man I want. And, but the females that are available are the ones that are like, oh, like take care of me. Like,
yeah,
no, like I think that there's a place in the world for a woman who's strong and independent and a man who's very into his masculine energy, but like is okay and is very secure in himself enough that he wants a strong, independent female. And the world that we're in today is, you know, you have like the women that are literally wearing vagina hats and are like, oh, feminine energy. Yeah. Like, yeah, I do think that that females should be given equal things. I think that equal pay for equal work. I do agree with that. But I also think that there is a part of the 60s. Like, I don't think that females are supposed to be the servant of their household, but there is a thing of feminine and masculine energy. And I really Absolutely. Do want to find someone that can talk more on this because I don't truly understand it, but I'm starting to dive into it. And I wrote out all the things that I want in a man. I want a man to put me into that energy, but I don't want to have to be a martyr to get there. Yeah. I don't want to have to be a martyr to find that man who will do that. Stress. Yes. So I think that it goes back to I think that the reason they're attracted to that martyr attitude is because it goes back to the instinct of the masculine energy. And because they're so demasculinized in the society because of the way society is pushing that agenda of feminism, that the martyrs are the ones that are getting the attention. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I explain that well?
No, that was really good.
Okay.
That was exactly where I was going with that.
Cool. Sometimes I just keep going and I don't know where these thoughts are coming from. And that was just an example of, I have no idea where I just pulled that
from. I know you said that you think the other two could be maybe a different episode, but the first point is really tying into what you just said.
It does. I agree.
Jake has a friend who said to him that he doesn't do like manly things for work. So he feels that he has to make up for that in other aspects. And I was like, wow, that's very insightful.
That is.
And he said he like loves working with his hands. He loves like doing projects on the weekends to like really tap into that masculine energy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he doesn't feel that in the work week.
Hmm.
And I was like, wow, I like it. See, this is going back to like me wanting to know what people are thinking.
Yeah.
Like that insight to a man's mind. Oh my God, that was fantastic.
I think it's hot when a guy is willing to say something like that too.
Oh my God, yes.
I think that's sexy as fuck.
Yes. And like I love that Jake has these friendships where they're like having those conversations. When he told me that Jake
has these friendships is blowing my mind right now. But I love it for him.
I do too.
Because I think that that is, but it's balancing that out. Obviously he recognized that need.
Yes.
And he's doing things to fit that
void.
Instead of like making himself attract, like find somebody that he has to take care of. He's like, no, I recognize that I want to feel manly. So I'm going to go do manly things.
Right.
Like, and it goes back to like why I want to like do arts and crafts because that's more of a feminine energy than my job.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And that's why I will put mascara on when I go to work because I want to feel like a female. I don't think that it's fair that our job is dominated by males and it looks female, like there's some females that are like, why are you doing your hair? Why are you makeup on? Because it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I need to feel like a female. I want to feel like a female. I am a female. I want to embrace that.
Yeah.
You can come at me all you want. I don't care.
I was just going to say, I feel like that's such a taboo topic now too.
Yeah.
Saying that you want to feel like something you are, like a female. Why is that weird?
Like I'm girly. I want to feel like that.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I'm not going to do my fucking job because I can.
Right. But the correlation is not there.
Right. But people put those in it. They see a pretty female and think they can't do the job.
Yeah.
Like, no, we can. And same goes with a man. They'll see a man doing a female job, quote, mm-hmm. whatever, non-math, whatever you want to term that. And they think something else. But it's like they're just stereotypes. Like, no, you can have both.
Right.
You can absolutely have both. Your skill set does not depend on your gender.
Absolutely. Mic drop.
Bye.
Mic drop. And then also, how are we doing on time?
We're at 39 minutes.
Okay. Then let's start to wrap this up. I have one more thing to say. Why won't men do things that make their girlfriends happy if it takes zero effort? I think this goes very much back into the masculine energy.
I agree. I think this all ties in. I think this is a nice little bow for the masculine versus feminine energy that I really want to find a specialist on.
Because I literally asked Jake this exact question because people, I don't know if it, you do sometimes, but it's a lot of outside people comment on Jake doing things for me. Like, we know I love taking pictures. I'm that girl with the tripod in the middle of the flower field for an hour with my man, get every picture I want from every angle at every event, every party. Jake is down to take pictures. He's down to do the weird shit just to make me happy. And people comment on it all the time. My man would never do that. How do you get your man to do that? And I'm just like,
he knows it's important to you.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, can we take this picture? And he's like, absolutely. Where do you want me to stand? How do you want me to pose? Do you want me to hold
it? Get him to smile, maybe another thing sometimes.
Yeah, he's just not a big smiler.
Yeah, it's fine.
But he's down. He'll do it. And I don't have to beg him. I don't have to bribe him. And I straight up asked him, I was like, why don't other men do this? And he straight up said, they don't feel cool. The fuck?
I think it's cool as fuck when a man's willing to do something for their...
Me too. And to hear other women say, my man would never do that. Baby girl, that's important. You find a new man.
Yeah, dump them.
Like, for you to say, my man would never do something to make me happy. Do you hear that? Do you hear yourself saying that right now?
Ew. Because that's not cute.
No. You deserve a man that's going to do what it takes to make you happy. Even if it's taking a fucking picture in a flower field.
Yeah.
Like.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Girl wants to show off her man.
All right. So, a couple tangible things. Because our friend Delaney she melted my heart with this text message. She doesn't mind me telling her, saying this. She said something like, she sent a group chat to me and Shannon that she really appreciated our friendship and she's never had like a meaningful friendship where people were so invested in each other. And I was like, damn, like that's straight up true. I feel like you and I have a very different friendship where we're so much more invested in each other than I've ever been invested in another friendship before.
And invested in each other's lives. Yeah. Not just the friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I just want to, I put some things down that I think are important. The first thing you wrote, which I don't know if you want to talk about it now, but it doesn't really relate, but it does.
Sending thank you cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually just wrote a whole bunch. So by yourself, the fucking lilies that I talked about previously, she talked about when you're in another way. We'd mentioned in the last episode about gratitude, yeah. I think. So in this episode, I'll give you this one. Another way, instead of just writing gratitude when you feel down, is send a thank you card to somebody. Because it's another form of gratitude.
Yeah.
And I was in like not a bad mood, but like I felt my vibe go down the other day. And I just wrote like a bunch of thank you cards because they're not anything like these people didn't do like life altering things, but they did small things that really meant a lot to me. So I wrote thank you cards for them. And let me tell you how much that changed my fucking vibe.
I love that so much.
Yeah. So I do want to go more into that later when I have it ready on like how the thank you cards, like how she suggested you write them. But yeah, that is something that you guys, if you're feeling a little down this week and you need to change your vibe, just think of something someone's done for you this week and then write a thank you card to them.
And think about how like it's going to help you. And it's going to help them.
Yeah.
It's going to brighten their day. And why wouldn't you want to do that?
You're raising the vibration of more than one person.
Yeah. I love that. I think what other things are important is investing in each other, their goals, and their future. Because if you care about their goals and their future, they would hopefully care about yours also.
Yeah.
And that just invests you in the friendship more when you have a common goal that you're both working towards. And you're invested in what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And
checking in with them on those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Holding each other accountable. I think that's a huge part of our friendship. And I'm really grateful. And it also ties into my next 2 points with having the hard conversations and being honest. Honesty is so fucking important. And so is having the hard conversations, whether that's about calling each other out about like a boundary that they crossed or, hey, you aren't tracking your macros this week. Yeah. What are you doing? but also being honest about like goal setting or their lives. Like I feel like this podcast is a very true representation of that entire point list.
Yes,
because we have our conversations not only on here but in person, and we're honest with ourselves and each other.
Yeah. And sometimes, and this hasn't happened recently, but we have in the past been like, let me take a break for a sec and gather my thoughts. It's part of having a hard conversation. Yeah. Sometimes you need to like think about it, like marinate what they said. And
And this is probably going off on a tangent that we don't need to get into right this second, but in person, or like if you're a long distance friend, on Zoom.
Yeah.
Don't stop doing everything through fucking text message.
I literally, this just a couple hours ago when I came here, I told you something that I was like, I knew this would not be delivered well over text message. Yeah. And I want to make sure it gets delivered properly.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a problem with this, but I want to have a conversation about it.
Right. So, yeah. And I've said that to you before, like, can we table this because this is not transferring well through text message?
Yeah.
Not only that, do things get lost in translation through text message, but also you're devaluing those hard conversations.
Yes.
I feel like
you're high to be high to screen.
Right. Goal setting, future talking. It's just so much more powerful when you're in person and you can like be looking at each other, hearing each other's voice, seeing each other's faces. Like, don't devalue how important that is and how much value that can bring to your friendship. And I feel like friendships nowadays are so surface level.
They are.
Oh, let's go get our nails done. Oh, like, your dog's cute. Let's
go to the bar.
Let's go to the bar. Like, no, how about we go to the gym? How about we go on a hike and like talk?
Yeah. What book are you reading?
Right. Instead of talking about like, yeah, I got my hair done yesterday. Like, talk about things other than surface level things. Yeah.
It's just making deeper, meaningful, more meaningful connection with people.
Yeah. I've been doing that with my partners at work. And it's very funny now that I have one set partner, a full-time partner, as opposed to like a rotating person each week. And we'll just be driving. I'll be like, what's your biggest fear? And they'll be like,
Wait, I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I do that all the time. Tell me about your life. What are your goals? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? And they'll just look at me like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I'm waiting.
Tell me now.
Literally. And you're back. You need to know. Yes, it does. I need to know. Sometimes it'll be more surface level stuff. Like, what's your favorite number?
Oh, I like but that. Like, what's your favorite number?
5 or 8. My partner's is 4, in case you're curious.
Yeah, mine's 2 or 4.
Oh, that's 2.
Yeah.
Oh my God, the 2's earlier.
Yeah.
That's weird. Did you ever look that up?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
You called me out on looking at my phone, so I just put it down. I had to open it up, and I was like, okay, I'll put that.
Oops.
I'll table that for later.
All right. Well, you want to do some housekeeping?
You guys know where to... Well, you don't know where to find us. We're telling you now. Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, The Messy Imperfection, themessyimperfection.com. If you have any things you want us to talk about, email themessyimperfection@gmail.com.
That's my biggest fear.
Sorry, guys. I literally stopped recording mid that sentence. I don't even know where I stopped. But anyway, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll see you next Monday.
Bye. Bye.